Welcome to episode 336 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first time with us, let me tell you what this show is like. It's a lot like being a kid and watching a scary movie. You know, you beg your parents, you tell them you can handle it. You make promises like, I'll sleep in my own bed after this. It won't affect me. And you finally break them down.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, excuse you. Professional motherfucker. they give in, they let you watch a scary movie. And while the movie itself excites you, the aftermath is what terrifies you. You thought you were tough until you lay in bed at night and the lights off. What's that noise? Who's there? The idea of being alone is enough to make you run into your parents' bedroom. And say, why did you let me watch that? And that's 8-Bit for you. I'm Jeremy. And with me today are two men who once jumped in my lap while watching a scary movie about a nun.
Oh, boy.
What? False. If everyone can remember, I'm pretty sure we made a highlight of this stream. You can watch Jeremy jump into my lap and me say, don't fucking touch me.
Prove it. Mm-hmm. Prove it's not out there. It's not on the internet.
I don't think it was because we didn't get a copyright strike, but because we were watching a movie on a stream, I don't think we were able to save anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were watching The Conjuring 2.
And so for all anyone knows, it's just, it's all hearsay. No one really knows if I jumped in someone's lap. I did.
Whoever was there, they saw it.
I think I punched you. I don't think I jumped in your lap.
You kept jabbing him.
Yeah, you grabbed my leg. You grabbed my leg. No, you jumped in my lap when we played PT.
Oh, yeah.
That one, you literally jumped into my lap, and I was like,
See, Ryan, he's like, I saw it. See, Ryan knows.
He got a good laugh out of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like our banter, if you like what we're chatting about, you can always connect with us through our website at www.the8bitgeek.com. There you'll find things and links to our Discord where you can hang out, chat with us, and chat with other fans. You'll also find information on different shows that we do. And also our Patreon, where you can spend as little as $5 a month and get a whole bunch of extra content like extended episodes. You can also get a daily show called The Diner and so much more. Head on over to the website. You can check it all out. And, have a good time with that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a good stuff. Like a saga. Go check out Saga. Or you check out 3D. Oh. And those are also good shows. Just waiting also, for you two to chime in.
Queen Shutterbug has come in with 100 bits. So thank you for that.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Shutterbug. All right, well, let's move on quickly.
I wanted to say something about the horror movies.
Oh, here
though.
We go.
So that I do have a similar story to that. When I was a kid, I made my parents rent Candyman, and then I couldn't sleep in my bedroom for like a week.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. It's the same thing. I've said it before. For some reason, my mother left me to my own devices, and Freddy Krueger was playing on the TV, and I was like, this seems like a good idea. It was not. I could not fall asleep because I was terrified of having dreams of him and getting killed in my sleep. So, and yeah, Doug had the same issue when the first time that he watched a Muppets Halloween Spectacular.
Doug,
anyways.
No, I want him to go on.
Well,
just keep digging.
Well, it's the one where. Mm-hmm. Gonzo goes to space.
Uh-huh. Muppets in space, all right.
Muppets in space. Yeah, that movie terrified me because it was so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was real bad.
But yeah, oh, Well, I guess we should mention it since we're getting so close to October. We kind of have a little thing that we're doing.
What?
Yeah. You know, in October, we kind of do something called Horror Fest.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah, this is the fifth year of doing it.
What? Really? Wow.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Hey, Doug, tell me about Horror Fest.
Well.
The eyes went wide.
Welp. It's a thing we do. We watch scary movies. Over the last few years, we've kind of based them on a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, thank you, Random Hero, for the 200 bits that just came in.
Yeah.
We've gone after themes. Like last year, I believe we did Space. The year before that, we did Origins, which kind of based on the first movies for major franchises, like mm-hmm. Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, et cetera, et cetera. And this year, we're doing sequels. Or not sequels, reboots and remakes.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, kind of watching a lot of those same franchises, but the newer versions of them. So this year, we will be watching and reviewing Nightmare on Elm Street, 2010, Friday the 13th from 2009, 2004's Dawn of the Dead, 2019's Child's Play, and 2018's Halloween. So it's going to be a fucking fun year.
Yeah. Awesome. And we will have an official shirt coming out. It's going to be a little bit late. Our resident artist had to retire for some reasons, personal reasons. So he couldn't, Zombie, shout out. He couldn't do the shirt for us this year. It pained him too, because of the fact that he loved the idea that we had for it. And he wanted to tackle it so badly, but he just couldn't. So we do have a new artist that's going to be tackling this for us. And we will have that for you as soon as we can. It's going to be a really dope shirt. I think everyone's going to really like it. So,
there you go. Are we allowed to say who the artist is?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, we did hire him.
Yeah, just in case people wanted to, look up who the artist is.
It is Luke McKay.
Luke McKay.
Yes, Luke McKay.
He's an artist over at Rooster Teeth.
He is an artist over at Rooster Teeth, and he also... he's the artist for Dungeons and Dragons Beyond.
So. That's awesome. That is a fucking great pull there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if you wanted to go check out his work, you can.
Yeah, Barry Blue Jeans coming in with 300 bits as well. Thank you, Barry.
Chud Fu asks, what? No Evil Dead? That's a good one. Maybe we need mm-hmm. to make an audible. But we can't at this point.
It's too late.
Can we not watch Nightmare on Elm Street? Oh wait. Yeah, that's a good one. But we are gonna have guest shows like we always do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, who knows, maybe that'll show up on there. I actually got to do a guest show with Link from River City Gaming Squad. That was a blast. We reviewed Stephen King's the reboot of It Chapter One, and it's great because Link don't watch horror movies, so it is even better in that reason.
Link don't watch no horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
You went real country there.
He sacrificed it for us, so it's pretty rad. So yeah, make sure to check out the guest podcast. We'll announce those as we're getting closer to Horror Fest 2 once we start basically nailing everything down. But yeah, it started, man. We're getting ready to get this party started. There will also be exclusive Patreon Brawl videos released. One's going to be the Patreon Rumble soon, and the other one's going to be a special Horror Fest edition of 8-Bit Brawl. So be ready for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot planned.
That's right.
Saga also recorded an 8-Bit Horror Fest episode again this year that will be probably released, I'm going to guess, on the Saga channel this year, but it'll also be on Patreon as well. And Daniel actually DM'd it.
That's so, super cool.
Yeah, DM'd by Chubrub, edited by Chubrub, and then I'll add the finishing touches at the end, but it's be fun. It was a crazy one. It was a fun one.
All right, so let's get into some fun ourselves. Every week we like to take a break before the news, and we like to have a laugh. This has become its own segment, and for good reason. We've had some good laughs from it. We actually had an email come in this week from a listener, Vern, and I wanted to read the email because of the fact that it has something to do with the reviews that we've been putting out for the product reviews that we've been reading. Hi guys, my son and I were crying after listening to you read reviews. I hope he's of age. Something tells me he's not.
Otherwise, what's up, you cool kid?
although I had to explain what lube was and why someone would need a 55-gallon drum of it. So that was a lot of fun, he says. Now, here's what I want to know. I want to know that conversation and how you explained why someone would need 55 gallons of lube. Hey,
man. A deal's a deal.
You know, hey, maybe Vern is a very progressive parent. He's just like, listen, people are going to say shit. People are going to say butthole. People are going to, you know, there's things like sex out there. And who better to teach you than the 8-Bit Geek?
I got a list, actually.
Yeah, of better people.
Yeah, much better.
So he really enjoyed the reviews, and he actually submitted a product for us to review. So all three of us will tackle this one, and it's a good one. It is a really good one. It is it's a book called Microwave for One by Sonia Allison, and you can find this on Amazon. And Doug, just go ahead, pick a couple.
All right. let's see. I'm going to read the first one. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm just picking one. I just like the name of the subject, which is buy this book or don't. I don't care anymore. it used to be that I got home from work and the only thing I'd want to put in my mouth was the cold barrel of my grandfather's shotgun. Then I discovered Sonia Allison's chicken tirizzini, and now there are two things. Oh, man, that took a fucking twist. Right? That was fun.
I'll take the second one here.
All right.
Unsafe recipes from Andrew. He says, if you like to cook raw chicken in your microwave, this book is for you.
Oh, okay. So hold on. So this is, I guess, this is a cookbook.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a cookbook for your microwaving one.
Oh, Jesus.
Living that microwave lifestyle.
1987. Oh my God. All right.
Kev,
the future.
Kev, what do you got?
I've got one. You know what? This is coming from Christopher Brandon Sheik. 5-star review.
Don't need to say the whole name.
Oh, he also lives that. No. I mean, this is 5 years ago, so he might be dead. The perfect cookbook for the single life. 5 stars. Before this book, preparing food was a long and tedious task. Now I can prepare delicious meals for myself in no time at all. I now have much more time to get drunk and curse my ex and then weep uncontrollably in a corner. That's good. You know what? Time management is key. So I'm glad that
review, man, you know,
this dude's full name, you know, gets to do that.
Doug.
Okay. I'm going to read this. This one's a long one. It's 4 paragraphs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I saw that, man. I skipped it.
Yeah. It's called the book of Allison from Blackstreak.
Okay. It
says, Jeb rarely says anything after dinner, but I've come to get used to that. I can see the appreciation in his stapled jaw after feeding him with a battered, rusty, cut-open can of motor oil.
Oh, God.
From the past few days, the gangs at the dinner table have seemed strangely quiet, distant even. And I can't really blame the gray ash and snow flaring through the makeshift tin roof of our cabin.
What?
Maybe the radiation in the atmosphere has finally exceeded the output from the microwave, but that's hearsay by Candy, who hasn't said a word since a few years ago. Her hair keeps falling into the soup.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I should make more friends, but these 14 have been great company through the great extinction. I cherish the holidays where I can spare a twitching oversized muskrat with a modified ballpoint pen and then use techniques learned from the Book of Allison, which I read to my mother as a child through the intercom of the decon chamber. She kept pawing at the plexiglass door and the bells of the CDC, but I knew my mother better than anyone. She was always appreciative of the book, and I'd like to think it ultimately gave her the path to salvation. It is perhaps in my greatest revelation that I must leave this shanty and spread the word of the book. It's been years since I used the Peacemaker, and I have only a handful of shells remaining, but I hold steadfast that there is still good in the world, and that I need not resort to violence. Steven, only after I restrained him to the chair and halted his necrosis with the balm made of encaustic and boar grease, he said something of cannibalism spreading throughout the land, and only recently he conveyed, speaking through his empty eye socket, that there was a false religion being spread by a mammoth woman who controlled a hive mind to the south. Her teachings were antithetical to the principles of the Book of Allison, calling for deep frying mutant flesh and battery acid.
Oh.
The thought of it brings a distant chill to my already frozen extremities, but I know in my heart that I must persevere. As I gather my irradiated rations and bid farewell to my crumbling friends, I look to the purple and red horizon and think of a world that need not a rebirth, but an evisceration.
Oh, boy.
Rusty Bowie knife in hand, I feet wrapped in plastic tarp and nylon rope, goggles and ventilator covering my scarred face, I set upon the indifferent landscape of the remains of humanity with only a small spark of hope in my heart and a spark ignited by a fork in the radiation field of mankind's greatest invention. There is evil in the world. I have tasted of it and hold it with little dignity, but I have the book, and the book is life.
Amen.
By the way, I love that it's a verified purchase, by the way. That's really committing to the fucking bit right there.
Okay, I got one. This book changed my life, from Drew. Microwave for One is not just a cookbook. It's a lifestyle. Sonia Allison gave me the confidence I needed to rebuild my life. Why be a slave to the need to try? Why scumbag to society's pressure to care? After following her guided tutorial, how to give up in just 60 seconds or less, I was ready to commit 100% to the program. Soon I was popping popcorn and boiling water. Without even realizing, I was not only becoming an amazing chef, I was growing as a person. Without the burden of a life outside of my apartment, I can finally lead the life I was always meant to, alone, in the dark, crying into a bowl of instant grits. Do yourself a favor. Buy this book and never look forward again. 3 stars.
I have one more good one. It's only a sentence long. The perfect companion for those without a companion. A great follow-up read to Drinking for One. Sex for One. And the 5 people you meet in heaven.
All right. I've got one. It's an evil witch box.
Oh, man. I was about to read that one.
Upon receiving this as a gift from my ex when he left me, I bought one of those so-called microwaves. It's a warning to all those using witchcraft. The food is cooked by magical waves of who knows what. And to top it off, it sometimes cooks the bowl or plates and leaves the food cold. Also, be warned that these boxes run off of electricity, another form of witchcraft. I urge you to burn these witches on a stake like I did.
It's good shit. If you have a chance, you should go through and read a whole bunch of these. They're wonderful. It's Microwave for One. You can find it on Amazon. It's great stuff. Thank you so much, Vern, for sending that in. And if any of you out there listening would like us to read some more reviews, if you have any to share, please do so on the website. You can submit them or over on Discord. We're open to it because this is a ton of fun. We'll continue to do it. So moving on, let's do the top box office of the week. And I always mispronounce this title since Ashley has been watching the show.
I just read another funny one. One more real quick.
Okay,
sorry.
We'll go back. One more.
Okay, this one's hard to digest. After only 18 minutes in the microwave, the book caught fire. It did have a nice smoky flavor, but the middle chapters caused some paper cuts on my tongue.
I wanted to say that one too, but I found the evil witch.
So good. All right, go on. Continue.
Ashley's been watching the show for, I don't know, it seems like at least 14 years.
Downton Abbey?
Huh?
Downton Abbey?
Yeah, I always call it Downtown.
Yeah, it's Downton.
Yeah, I know it is. But I always say Downtown. Yeah, so Downton Abbey made $31 million this week. which nice. For some reason I thought was like a Netflix exclusive, but I was wrong. And then also there's three movies out this week. The second one is Ad Astra, which is Brad Pitt's space movie. It made $19.2 million, you know. And the third was Rambo Last Blood. Here's the funny thing about what kind of like how the cinemas have changed in the past 5 years alone, maybe even 2 years alone. Movies like these would make close to $100 million. Then again, it is September and it's when the studios dump all their trash movies. So that's generally how it works. But I would expect Ad Astra to make a lot more than 19.2, especially with Brad Pitt leading the charge.
I mean, maybe like the trailers made it look cool, but interesting, but at the same time, it also art filmy, you know what I mean? Like it had that kind of indie vibe about it that I'm actually surprised it was number two. Like not that I think it'd be number one. I thought it'd be much lower.
Wow.
Blue Jeans asks, hey, what? Why the heck? Yeah, it says heck there. Why the heck do we need another Rambo movie in the first place? Well, that's a good question. But that's the same reason. I mean, that's the same question that we said about when they were talking about Rocky and rebooting, or not rebooting, but continuing the Rocky story. And then we got Creed and everyone was like, okay, yeah, that worked. That totally works. Unfortunately, also,
this is Last Blood.
Yeah, it's his last blood.
It's the first movie is First Blood.
I'd hope so. Homeboy's pushing 70.
No, he's got four more.
Yeah, right. Oh, the last blood.
Yeah, Last Blood again.
Again.
Also, the last Rambo movie made a buttload of money. So,
well, it came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was called just John Rambo, I think it was, and there was like the kill count was like over 100.
Rambo,
like there's this one part where he gets behind a gun and just takes out like 70.
It was
dudes.
So awesome. It made. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I was wrong. Oh my gosh! Why did they remake this movie? Made more money than the last movie. And on opening weekend.
Already?
Yeah, it was just called Rambo. It was released in 2008. And it made $18.2 million in opening weekend. And then it grossed $42 million in the U.S. And so it's already beat the first week numbers. So I guess success. We'll get it.
There you go. Success. Good job, Sly.
Hey, they'll get a sequel. So
otherwise known as The Expendables.
For real. Bob Iger he's stepping down as CEO of Disney soon. And so with that, he is releasing a memoir, a autobiography. And he's talking about his time with Disney and with all the friendships he's made. And a lot of interesting stuff has been coming out so far. And one of the headlines is that he said that Disney and Apple were likely to have merged if Steve Jobs were still alive. I read the article. They actually sat down on many occasions and discussed what a merger would look like, and they had conversations about who would take who, and they were saying that Apple would probably have taken Disney, and man, what a different future we would have right now, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
it'd be nuts. So kind of glad they didn't, because I don't know what the world would look like with Star Wars and with Marvel. Like I'm it's very curious. So
iTunes exclusives.
They released just on iTunes.
Yeah. On QuickTime. QuickTime would have been it would have been the industry standard. Thank God we didn't get that.
Man, QuickTime was pretty good.
I hate it.
I mean,
maybe on Macs or maybe on Apple products, but PC, the QuickTime stuff, like that .mov files were hell.
They still have
those. They're almost as bad as real player files.
But
doing a deep pull on that one.
Yeah. I don't
agree.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Real time was a flash player, wasn't it?
Real time?
Real time wasn't that a flash format?
No, they had like real, they had a Flash format, but they actually had like a R, I think it was Real Media, and it was like,
yeah, I hated that. That brings back so many memories. I remember when before YouTube, like those were the two things that you would have. All movie trailers would be in QuickTime on everyone's website. And then you would also have the real-time player as well, like that went and just did everything else.
And installed a bunch of weird Java software that you never used.
No.
Bloatware, yeah.
AT&T is in the news because they're like, hey guys, remember when we bought DirecTV? Yeah. I don't know. We don't want them anymore. So they spent $48 billion acquiring DirecTV. And they're having second thoughts about it. They wanted all of those subscribers, but it doesn't seem like those subscribers wanted AT&T. You know, I think that what they thought was going to happen was that they would jump on board with combining internet, TV, and cell phone and, you know, trying to get them on over to using AT&T. But they were just like, nah, I'll just keep the satellite. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, cord cutting is happening and all that.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge one.
Yeah. Next in the news, I never thought I'd see the day. Kev, go ahead and drop that movie pass intro.
It's alive! It's alive! Audio Jungle.
So, just days after it died, it looks like MoviePass may be coming back.
Told you. Called it.
Yeah. So the former CEO and of MoviePass's parent company, Helios, Ted Farnsworth.
No.
That sounds so fucking fake. That sounds like something from Fallout 4.
He comes out and he says, well, I believe there's great unrealized value in MoviePass. And we would like to rebuild and make sure it reaches its full potential. I have always believed and always been a believer in the business model and the brand Mitch Lowe and I built for MoviePass. There's tremendous appetite for movie theater ticket subscriptions.
Yeah, by the actual theaters.
So, yeah. Yeah, the theaters are already bypassing you, bud. Like, there's no point. No one trusts you. Like, the brand of MoviePass is completely ruined. Like, it's nobody, you know, when you play with people's money, when you ruin their identities, when you cancel subscriptions, when you charge credit cards, it's over. Like, let it die. You will be known as the company that started something special with subscription services and let it go from there, you know? Let it be. Let it be.
Quit on-living this.
Yeah.
OnLive is like, we're the first. Yeah, but you're also bankrupt, so.
And here's some fun news. More, hey, TV's dying and we can't let it go news. TiVo says that that all retail DVR owners will start to see ads before recorded shows. And that didn't go over well. Because people have already are paying for the service, and they're like, "Hey, why are we paying for this if we're gonna get ads?" It was supposed to be adless shows. We didn't want the commercials. That's why we recorded them. And yeah, it's gonna happen. They say that within 90 days, it'll be a permanent part of the service. And in just that moment, a million voices silenced. On the TiVo brand.
Yeah.
And you wonder why people keep cutting the cord and keep just going to the internet.
I'm surprised TiVo's even still around, especially since everything kind of, like, you know, the other DVR technologies out there and cable, you know, adopted it into their boxes. Like, it's really weird that TiVo even still has an audience.
Well, you know, I don't think that they... Doug, you do... What's the service you do? You do the Sling.
Sling TV, yeah.
So, TiVo and Sling... were it kind of in the same category, right? And Sling was the only one with the foresight to be like, oh, hey, our boxes are going to die. Like, we got to just worry about software. Like, let's get an app going and let's offer a service where we're streaming and we'll offer cable through an app and forget the box, the set-top box.
Yeah, I mean, you can pretty much have Sling TV on just about everything now. Mm-hmm. I think it's even on Apple TV. But like, yeah, it's definitely on the Rokus, and the Chromecast and all that shit. Like, it's all in all those. But it's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that maybe TiVo doesn't have an app and all that, but if you're still relying on DVR boxes, you're doing something wrong. And if you're paying, if they're going to charge for a service through the app, so if TiVo has an app and they're still going to put ads on for their DVR function through the app, I would quit same day. I'd be like, bye. I'll go to Sling or something. I don't need this. Yeah.
Sling has a DVR option, which is crazy to me because a lot of the channels you can just go back in time, like up to like 2 to 3 days. And then some channels just have shows on demand constantly. Like Food Network, for example. We went the other day and we watched, like, sometimes if we can't find anything else to watch, we'll just watch like Chopped or some shit, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's like, okay, they have like the most recent like 20 episodes that have aired. No, not anymore. Every fucking episode ever. There's like 400 fucking episodes available. Jeez. To watch. So it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I could pay the $5 extra for the DVR, but at the same time, it's like, or I could just like go look. I may not be able to watch it the night of, but pretty soon, you know, most channels I can go back and watch again, about up to 3 days worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Bad on them. Speaking of bad on them, YouTube. God, they got in some hot water this week. I don't understand why they do this.
And I also don't fully understand what, I mean, like, I know what they did, but I also don't understand why they did what they did. Right. Like, I don't understand what their reasoning was or anything. Like, I don't get it.
So if you don't know what happened, YouTube went ahead and they were like, hey guys, let's announce new plans to change the policy around channel verification. And so they made it harder to get a verified badge on your channel. So you had to meet certain things. So you had to have over 100,000 subscribers with an eye towards, I guess the plan. I'm sorry, I don't even know what it is. I think 100,000 was current. Okay. Plans reopen, blah, blah, blah. Channels have over 100,000 subscribers. So now you have to have over 100,000 to get a little thumbs up badge verification. And they went ahead and took away everybody who had one, which then threw the internet you know how the internet can be. They will, you know, we can't get a terrible president out of office, but we can sure rally against companies we don't like. Politics. but anyway, any hoozles, a few people contacted media outlets. You remember ACG, the one that I gushed over before in the last couple weeks? I really like his reviews. Well, he was verified. He went to CNN. CNN ran with his story. And the next day, or same day, YouTube was like, okay, we're just kidding. So they let everybody who was already verified stay verified. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get rid of the channels that are reposting content that's not the original content, you know, the original host. And so now the background of the original content will have a different shade of color to recognize that this is the original content holder. So they're trying to get rid of reposting and stealing of content and stuff like that, right, which is a huge problem.
Yeah, there are so many people out there, like verified people, who like shouldn't have issue being verified. Like Hank Green from John and Hank Green, the Green brothers, who have like the Vlog Brothers channel. Hank or John Green wrote all those like books that are being turned into movies and TV series and shit. Like I can't even remember the name of the books. The one called Looking for Alaska that's coming to Hulu, I think, later this year. But anyways, like their main channel has millions and millions of subscribers, and he does some other like channels, like one about like science and education and stuff or whatever, and those got unverified.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he's just kind of like, seriously? like this is a side channel, but it's part of our business? Like, really? I mean, it's not that important, but really?
But YouTube gonna be YouTube, and they're gonna YouTube it up. So
yep, that's why everyone's leaving YouTube. God,
I really hate.
A lot of creators are.
I really dislike. Well, I don't know where they're going. I mean, there's no other platform.
Vimeo. That, I mean, there, yeah,
no,
there's
no one's moving to Vimeo. Like, at least not in like the.
Okay, nobody in like the gamer stuff or anything like that. I mean, they're probably finding Patreon or some other alternate source.
But even Patreon people, I mean, people that are doing moving to Patreon and stuff are still relying on YouTube and stuff for most of their views and their and the money. I mean, like, they're not the Patreon is also not there yet to support that large of like quantity of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, even when we do our Patreon exclusive videos, they're still being uploaded to YouTube first.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not hosting the files. They don't have the infrastructure to like handle.
So I'm saying they're not there yet. And yeah, the thing with Vimeo is like, well, it's great and it's a much better platform. The problem is like they're not set up to be like what YouTube has set itself up to be as far as like finding videos,
algorithms,
channels, all that stuff is not the same. Now, it's a better platform for video hosting. You get better quality and you know, less compression and stuff on your files, but at the same time, it's not meant for what YouTube does and what a lot of people use YouTube for.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure then.
But I was gonna say the thing with the reposting, I think the biggest thing that I hate IGN for it is anytime that I go look for a movie trailer, for some reason they have reposted it and it shoots to the top, and I'm like, I'm not giving you a click. Like, I'm not doing that for you. And I don't know if they have something set up where it's okay for them to repost all of them, all the movie trailers and all the game trailers, or if they just rip them and then repost them. But it's not a practice that I like. I go directly to the source because I'm just like, I just despise IGN.
Now, I think for things like IGN, places like that, I'm pretty sure they're sent the trailers to post. And yeah, I'm sure they have some sort of contract worked out with the studios to allow them to post them, as well as who gets what out of any sort of monetary, mm-hmm. if they even get any of that.
Yeah.
If there is any for stuff like trailers. I'm sure they get them.
Well, I think that, I mean, I would think of it as any form of advertising, like a commercial. Like, these movie companies would probably go to IGN and be like, hey, we want to promote our movie on your channel. Here's the trailer. Please drop it at this day at this time, and we'll drop ours. Because, you know, people are subscribed to IGN, may not be subscribed to, say, Universal Studios or something like that. So they're not going to get the visibility otherwise. That's what I'm trying to think of from a business standpoint. So
that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, IGN would charge them like a commercial fee, or, you know, however much they would charge to advertise. I'm just brainstorming here. I don't know. I think that
makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It makes most sense. I think mine just comes from a hater standpoint, and I'm not thinking that way.
No, it makes sense because there are garbage channels that just release trailers that definitely shouldn't be. And I mean, yeah, I mean, do away with them. Fuck them. I mean, the thing I always hated, and this has been going on since YouTube was created, is when people are reposting stuff and taking credit for it, or having hundreds of thousands of subscribers for being a fucking repost channel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's pathetic. Or, you know, I hate that. Especially, it sucks for people who work hard on their content and don't get any monetization for it. Like, I mean, I made a bunch of videos back in the day, and I maybe saw $400 in my career out of like a 10-year total, you know, and I got demonetized like 2 years ago just because I wasn't at 100,000 subscribers, even though I was still getting, you know, a lot of views. Doesn't make sense, you know.
So yeah, YouTube's business practices have gone a little wonky. A lot of people.
Yeah, and they've been trying to go more family friendly too, which is probably why my videos got demonetized.
Ain't nobody want to see that naked body.
Hey, you tell that to however millions of people that I got views on.
Vern?
Burn?
No, Vern. I'm asking Vern.
No. At least that burn like that. I was like, I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, guess what, guys? We're getting some big news out of the CW. And and Tom Welling is coming back as Clark Kent in Crisis on Infinity Earths.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Take it away.
Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Nope. Infinity. You said Infinity, not Infinity.
Yeah, Infinity Wars Infinity on Order. Multiple Earths.
Oh my god. Anyways, he's coming back. And Erica Durant, who played Lois Lane on Smallville, is also coming back to play Lois Lane.
Nope.
Bitch.
Nope.
Okay, then who? Then who is she going to be?
Oh, who? What'd you say? yeah, so I'm very excited about that. All we need is Michael Rosenbaum.
Nope.
And he's been really quiet on Twitter, because on Twitter he's been like, he's been talking it up, and he's like, we haven't been talked to. I haven't been talked to yet. Tom hasn't been talked to. Like, where? Why aren't we a part of this? We Lex needs to come. Blah 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 blah. As I spit on my mic, and then he went radio silent after Tom was announced, and so I have a feeling that he's also signed, and they're just waiting for to announce him. So any day now.
Yeah.
You think they would actually announce him, or maybe they'll just throw it in the episode and he'll just
show
up? No,
they'll announce him. Because okay. The same way that they're announcing everyone, that's just a slow burn.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's just kind of weird that they wouldn't have any like kind of hidden secrets up their sleeves, I guess.
Maybe they do. But okay. They've announced everyone else just to, like, this thing is jam-packed full of everyone.
Seems like it. Seems like it's like the whole DC TV universe. God,
I would love for them to bring in and have Batmans from previous, like, God, how amazing would it be if Adam West were just to show up on... Oh.
Right.
He did.
I mean, Reeves. I think everyone would be surprised.
Christopher Reeves? No, Doug. No.
Hey, he was on Smallville.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was before he passed.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, he was in a commercial after he passed. Remember, he got up and he walked around.
You know what?
Oh, yeah, he did.
They, you know what? I mean, with the technology we got, you know, Chud Foo says they're going to bring Chloe back.
they're going to deep fake Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, deep fake him, man. Bring him back. The Office is being considered for a reboot because the world hates us.
That's going to be a hard one to pull off in this time, in this politically correct.
No, it's not, Kev. No, it's not.
Well,
the shows like Sunny exist. It's fine. It will be fine.
Yeah, no. Steve Carell agrees with Kev, though.
Well, the problem is, like, if you're using these same exact jokes that The Office used back in 2004 today, mm-hmm. Yes, you're going to have problems, because Michael comes off as homophobic, transphobic, and like kind of a racist asshole at times. Mm-hmm. Like, but that was the show in 2004. Like,
how do you replicate that kind of idiocracy?
I don't know. Look at Sonny.
I mean, you could do it. I mean, no, I think you could do it. It's just, like I said, if they're trying to recapture the original magic, it ain't gonna
I don't think you can. I mean,
you could still have a comedy in the workplace. They would just have to evolve the comedy. That's all. Yeah. I mean,
you could still make things, if they want to be like, oh, we want to make things like awkward and uncomfortable, like The Office was, it's still very easy to do.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
I mean, again, like, there are shows out there that play on that cringy like humor that The Office did,
mm-hmm.
and they are still on TV today because it's easy to be that, like, do that cringy humor without being all those things. You know what I mean? Like, all the without being necessarily like homophobic and racist and transphobic and all that stuff. Right. So it's possible. It's possible. But I don't think the show needs to be rebooted.
Me neither. At all.
I would like to see, there's a part of me that would like to see like a reunion. Office, like The Office movie, sort of like a 10 years later, whatever, what are they doing now, sort of catch up with everybody in the show, because I love the cast so much. I would love to see what they're doing, because, you know, I love Parks and Rec, but Parks and Rec, I don't need to see that because they did it for me at the very end of the fucking show. Yeah. So, but they didn't with The Office, so I would like to see what everyone's up to.
Oh my god, what if they just, like, if they all came back together and Michael was actually like a composed, he's gone through training, like sensitivity training, and he's an actual good boss now, like at a major company.
Yeah. He's a CEO at this point.
Yeah, he's a CEO, and he just walks in and he's like, oh, hey, everyone. And they're just like, they're just shocked by how like pleasant he is and nice.
I'm calling this just in case this ever happens. I just want to call it out. It'd be even funnier if he became his own worst enemy. If he became HR.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Because, well, he married HR. You know what I mean? Like, he yeah. married Holly, who was HR. I also think it'd be funny if, like, yeah, we come back to him. He's all composed and professional. And then through the course of him being around his old coworkers, he reverts back. Yeah. And so, like, the problem wasn't, oh, it was Michael. The problem was everyone else.
The employees.
Yeah, like, it was their fault.
Yeah.
give him 5 minutes alone with Todd Packer. That dude. He was the guy that the salesman that would always come by and just rip the worst, most bigoted jokes.
Yeah.
And just basically bring out the worst in everybody.
They're also threatening another company is threatening to remake something that doesn't need to be, which is The Princess Bride.
Nobody wants this.
Nobody wants it at all. And yet
the movie's ageless, man. You don't need to reboot. There's just some things you don't need to reboot. There's nothing of significance you can add to this to make it a better story.
Yeah, and the CEO of Sony Pictures seems to think that higher ups in the industry, a lot of people want to remake this. You know, a lot of famous people who names that they won't use, they want to redo Princess Bride. That's the quote.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Nobody wants that shit.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine, and especially since like Golding, what was his name? The guy that wrote the book. I'm looking on my bookshelf to see if I can find it. Like, he passed away a handful of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, he wrote the book, and he wrote the movie and was heavily involved in the making of the movie and stuff. Like, now that he's gone, it just seems like a bitch move. Like, a slap in the face of the movie itself, because, like, you know, we're gonna wait till the creator of it dies so we can remake it. That way we don't have to listen to his input, you know, the things that made the movie fucking great. And the fact that he wrote, you know, the role, like, specifically for, even Link just mentioned it too, like, Andre the Giant's gone, so no to that. Like, yeah, like, he wrote that role specifically for him. Like, it was, yeah, like,
he did. I mean,
that's who he had in mind when he wrote it, and, like, that's who they got. And, like, you can't replace him.
It's a magical movie that cannot be recaptured. Perfect.
And they're showing quotes from other people, and I like the Cary Elwes quote. He said, quote, "There's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. It would be a pity to damage this one." And he is fucking hammer to nail right on the fucking head, man. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is.
Looks like William Golding? Gold?
I mean, it says in here, it's it says Norman Lear's The Princess Bride. No. So you might be way off.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Nope. No.
Rob Reiner and William Goldman, beloved 1987 fantasy adventure film, is a stone cold classic. Who's Norman Lear? TV producer Norman Lear. Oh, that's the person who said it was a discussion to remake it.
Oh, so it'd be his version of The Princess Bride. Okay, sorry, that's what I was reading.
Yeah, but no, that's Rob Reiner directed it, and William Goldman wrote the book and the movie.
Yeah, dude. And the cast, I mean, just like you, I mean, like I said, Cary Elwes stated it the best way you can state it, man. This does not need to be rebooted. It shouldn't be rebooted, but here we are, 2019. We'll see it in 2020.
All right, let's get into some gaming news. And concerts and video games are a trend. It is happening. The Offspring will perform in World of Tanks. So there's going to be a stage, and you could just roll your tank right up to it and just party out, man. Let's get on with the why.
Yeah, they're not very good live either. Okay, I take that back. Dexter's vocals aren't very good live.
No, just also, why The Offspring?
Yeah, it's such a random ass band.
Why The Offspring and why World of Tanks?
Because World of Tanks has a ton of money. And The Offspring was needs a ton of money, and they're the only band that was like, "Yeah, we'll do it."
So yeah. That part makes more sense. Yeah, we're the band that'll do it. But like, I know that World of Tanks has, you know, a lot of fucking people that play it and sink money into it and all that stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but why the Offspring? Like, is there a tie to the two that I don't know about?
Nope.
Are they going to play like Bad Habit while you're around blessing the shit
same
out of people?
Reason, the same reason why, who's the last band that we...
Korn.
Was it Korn? Yeah, Korn yeah. did... who did they do?
Some random ass game that we didn't even really...
I don't remember.
It wasn't RuneScape.
Hold on.
Oh my god, RuneScape.
An adventure quest.
Yeah, that adventure quest. Generic quest. Whatever. Fuck. Adventure mm-hmm. quest. What a stupid fucking name for it. By the way, we're taking adventure quest. If you want to do some promotion with us, holla.
Yeah, we'll throw a concert.
Here, we'll put a podcast on in the middle of the fucking battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a stage. Three schlubs sitting up there talking shit about.
Hey, you know what? We've been approached recently to promote a video game. Maybe we should make that happen. Yeah, we'll do it, but we got to make sure that we can stream our podcast in the middle of the fucking game.
Yeah, right in the middle of the storyline.
Yeah. Put us right in there.
We want to be characters as well, lead characters. All right, so Rockstar is in the news, and they are rolling out their own PC game launcher, and it's already out. You can go get it. Mm-hmm. And download it, and I guess you know, whatever, everyone needs one now.
If you do it quick enough too, I think they're still giving away a copy of GTA San Andreas.
Yeah, so you can have mm-hmm. you can have it for the fifth time.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you can own a $5 game for free.
Yeah,
you know,
but this kind of you know leads to the or leads like credence to the fact that a Red Dead for PC might be coming soon.
I think mm-hmm. I think that's very very true because of the fact that. Red Dead Redemption 2 just applied to get its verification in Australia. And it doesn't go for a re-verification unless it's being released on a new console and or a new version of the game is being released. So, kind of timely with the whole PC game launcher.
Yeah. And so I also wonder, you know, it's been about a year, October 25th or whatever day, 26th, I don't remember which exact date it was, is the 1 year mark of that game coming out. And so are we going to get it around then? I was hoping for a DLC, like a DLC announcement. And maybe there will be one.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need a DLC announcement? You still haven't finished the fucking game.
Because... Red Dead 1 had Undead Nightmare.
Undead Nightmare, which was amazing.
And yeah. came out the following October. The game came out, you know, in like August, September of 2011 or whatever. In 2012, they had that October, they did Undead Nightmare. So I'm hoping, yeah, there's that part of me that's like, yeah, it's been a fucking year. I mean, yeah, I haven't finished it, but at the same time, like, you're doing stuff for Red Dead Online, but like, Undead Nightmare was one of the best fucking things was ever created as a DLC for a video game. You know, as an 8-hour zombie infused Western was so fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, I just want them to do it again. They did a phenomenal job the first time. I would love to see it again.
I think it'd be dumb not to release it on PC, seeing that most of their they made an announcement that said that the PC was their main source of income for microtransactions and for their GTA 5. And so.
Especially with like, the roleplay servers and stuff too, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
all
these people running their own servers, doing their own thing. Like, I'd love to see if one of the like Twitch RP groups did a Red Dead RP server. That's where your boy would go.
Yeah,
I haven't done any of the RP stuff in a while, but I would 100% go to.
I'd ride with you. Server. I'd RP with you. I'd make it so that we've never met up until like I don't know, maybe 150 hours into our quest. And then I'd just be a random guy, and we'd be like, oh, well, hi there, partner.
Oh, hello there. I'd sling blade it.
See your grass is a bit grown up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got him already on scroll there. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to offer you my services. I have quite the elixir collection in the back.
Yeah.
You got any of that snake oil there? Mm-hmm.
Well, I do, and since you're a new customer, I don't know why I went southern all of a sudden.
Yeah, real fucking southern bell there. Fucking getting the vapors.
It's fine. Yeah, we met in Saint Denis. We're down in Saint Denis.
That southern drawl. Yeah.
All right, so you can now earn up to 10,000 Microsoft Rewards points just for playing Xbox Game Pass games. For every achievement that you make in a game, you will earn one Microsoft Reward point.
Are you fucking serious?
So
1 point?
Yeah, but each game, you know, has, you can earn like 300 points. Like Shadow of Mordor has 300 achievements or some shit like that. I don't know. Okay, you'll earn. Okay, sorry. It says
Is the points tied to the amount of points that the achievements are?
I don't know, because this says here, if you complete one achievement in Devil May Cry, you will earn 100 points. Complete an achievement in Kingdom Come, Middle Earth, and so if you, I guess it's 100 points, you know, if you just do an achievement in each game or some shit. So
okay, so. I think I can explain this better because I've had Xbox Game Pass even before the PC one.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, on the Xbox dashboard, when you go into it, and there is a reward section. They just want you to get one achievement for the game to show that you played the game and that you supported it.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like you're not going to get per achievement, but if you earn a certain, basically, it's like challenges. If you complete their challenge, their challenge is getting achievements.
And I just fucking corrected myself, and now you corrected me again.
And I'm jumping on your bandwagon.
Yeah. So you can earn up to 10,000 Microsoft points, which equates to $10 that you can spend in their Xbox store.
Free $10.
Yeah, for playing games. Speaking of $10. Epic paid Controls publisher more than $10 million for the PC exclusive rights.
Wow.
Yeah. And this goes on to tell you like just how serious Epic is about getting some original games. Just look at Borderlands 3. It was just announced today that it was the best-selling PC game of their history in the first 5 days on PC. Just on PC alone, like, and everybody, so it put things in perspective of how much people have hated on the Epic Store, yet it sold the most copies of any Borderlands on PC, and they're saying up to five times as much as Borderlands 2. It sold 5 million copies total in 5 days across console and PC.
Good on them.
So yeah,
I think people are always like, boycott Epic. And then the day it came out, they're like, but I really want to play Borderlands.
It's like 10,000 people on Reddit who are bitching about the Epic Game Store. And then everyone else is just like, fuck it. Like, all right.
Yeah.
So, Borderlands 3 is launching its first community event called Bloody Harvest.
Nice.
Is it Blood Harvest or it's just Bloody Harvest. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought Blood Harvest would.
That's got to be trademarked. I feel like that's like a weird.
Yeah, maybe. It's going to be free. It's Halloween themed, limited time event. It launches next month and includes themed legendary weapons, character skins, enemy types, environments, and a boss battle. Nice. And you'll gain access to it to the new map. And first you need to hunt some haunted enemies. So it sounds like a lot of fun. And
it's like you collect some, when you hunt the ghost, you'll earn hectoplasm. fire breathing rack-o-lanterns.
Nice. That's okay, cool. I'm down with this.
Yeah, me too. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Lot of fun. See, Kev?
What?
People need to do Halloween-inspired DLC as soon as they can. Just like we need Undead Nightmare 2.
Okay, I was going to say something about that earlier, and I don't mean shit on any parade, but it sucks because Rockstar killed it with DLC, at least in Grand Theft Auto 4, and you notice Grand Theft Auto 5, all their DLC was just basically like online shit.
Yeah, it's just online.
And I'm afraid Red Dead's going to do that too because they see so much money coming from it. And that's why I'm thinking there might not be like a legit like Undead Nightmare, which I would love to have, but seeing as like the last 4 years, Rockstar is like, we making so much money, we ain't got to do shit.
Well, my thing is like, well, you could still do that, but at the same time, like, why not also offer people who maybe not be playing online something for them as well? Because, well, yeah, I get it. Like, you're going to fucking just pull in the riches by doing all this online, you know, content and stuff, just like they did with GTA. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, how? I mean, it was such a popular DLC. I mean, like, the fact that literally it's on like so many people's list for like top five like DLCs ever because it was so fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Even as like, a standalone zombie game, it was legit.
Yeah, you could literally buy that game by itself because it was so good. Like, so why not just do that again? Like, why not just, especially, I don't know. You know, people have like those like season passes and shit or whatever the fuck they sell for their online stuff. Like, why not just include it in that? I mean, yeah, you have to get these actors in to do it again, but like, you're gonna make that fucking money back tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, like them. Literally the next day, just an online shit from GTA.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I completely agree with you. I would love to see it. I'd buy it day one if it was coming out because I loved Undead Nightmare. But here we are.
I'm super excited for this one on for Borderlands 3. One because like fuck yeah, the game just came out and you're already giving me something new, which is stupid.
Yeah, because there's so much I haven't done already.
Exactly, but at the same time, like that's gonna be a lot of fun just to like, oh shit, let's go do this event. It's a Halloween event, like fuck yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can all do the events together.
I mean, yeah, we'll see.
I don't know.
Yeah. You knew you were gonna get that answer from Doug. I don't even know why you like said that. I don't even know why you're surprised.
No, actually, you and I probably could because we're actually close to the same level.
Mm-hmm. Kevin will have to catch up, but
I'm catching up.
He doesn't care
11.
Enough about it.
He's a level 11, level 29.
I'm working on every other fucking thing, trying to get.
He just bought the Legend of Zelda game.
I did not.
You will.
I would like to.
Tomorrow, you're going to buy it.
No, I actually scratched my itch. I started playing Link to the Past on the Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm. You're going to buy it.
Feels fine.
You're going to buy it.
I started playing that too. Yeah, a couple weeks ago. It was just like, yeah, I need some Zelda, and then I was like, man, this game still looks so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pixels, dude. They don't age.
I like them polygons.
So, let's see. In the last story of the day, Randy Pitchford comes out swinging. Maybe stuff he should not post because of the stuff that he's got going on, but whatever. He posted that Pornhub made a blog about Borderlands and things being searched. And 1 million people have searched for Borderlands porn in just 5 days, an increase of 12,000%.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And the top searches are Borderlands 3, Borderlands Moxie.
Makes sense.
And Borderlands 2.
Yeah, that makes
2.
A lot of sense.
Those are the top. Ew. Ew.
I hate that I see
just
Tiny
saw in
Tina
the middle.
There.
I see Tiny Tina. Yeah.
Tiny Tina, right? Like, okay, I would say Borderlands 3, Tiny Tina is no longer a child.
Right.
She is an adult woman now.
Uh-huh, but her name's Tina.
She's just Tina now. Tina. Yeah.
So the fact
it says, the splash screen's like, Tina, all grown up, still just as crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So the
is
fact
that
it's...
Is that Pornhub as well?
Oh, no.
Oh, brazers. Oh.
Probably, but, yeah, it's still weird that it's Tiny Tina.
Yeah, it should just be Tina.
Yeah, I mean, but she'll, you know what, she was Tiny Tina for like 7 years, you know what I mean? Like, that was her character name. Mm-hmm. And even when she showed up and stuff, it was like, it just said Tina. There was still a part of me that was like, I'm a little disappointed that we're still not calling her Tiny Tina, because it's
for sure.
Her name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but so, I can't want to differentiate that she's no longer a, you know, 14-year-old girl.
Yeah. Tales from the Borderlands shows up on there. I wonder if it's just real playthroughs. People are just like, I just don't want to give YouTube the views, so I go to Pornhub.
Let's see. The demographics show that men are 84% more likely to search it. And
I'm going to do it after the show tonight.
And then visitors aged 18 to 24 are 119% more likely to search when compared to other age groups.
Boy.
So.
Wow.
Incognito mode?
That doesn't mean that you're not tracked.
Yeah.
Sure, but it just means that if someone sits down at my computer and opens up Chrome, it's going to show my search history.
Doug, I'm an adult male. I know.
Yeah, with a son who's old enough to use a computer.
Yeah.
That sweat that drips down your forehead when someone types just P into your browser.
Listen, I don't understand it's like these people who are like, oh, in my will it says clear my browser history. Well, then you weren't browsing correctly. You weren't using the correct browser. And incognito. So anyways, that's the show that we got for you. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Until next week, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.